The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host, and I'm probably talking to you for the fourth or fifth time today. If you listen to this, if you listen to the show frequently, thank you for all your support during the Super Bowl week. Tons of great content. Make sure and follow at Pick Six Pod on Twitter and at Pick Six Pod on Instagram. Today is Thursday, February 4th, by the way. Leave a 5-star review if you've enjoyed our coverage. We also appreciate that. Join me now to make some bold predictions and Super Bowl predictions in general. Super Bowl is only a couple days away. It is the Super Friends, Ryan Wilson and John Breach. What's up, fellas?
Hello from this lovely Thursday. It is much colder in my house than it is in Tampa Bay, so quit your belly aching, people that are in Florida at the Super Bowl.
And hello to my fellow Super Friends that we're missing our Super Friends get together where we truly become Super Friends. Now we're just like good friends. So I think until we see each other again, this is just the good friends podcast. Instead of super friends.
One, Ryan, what's up with the glowing blue thing behind your head?
Yeah, mixing it up. How you like it? This is my.
Cool. Was that on purpose?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I stole my son's mood lamp, my 9-year-old mood lamp.
Move to the left so I can see the. Is it like a lava lamp? Like you get at Spencer's?
It's just like a little lamp. I have different colors.
Can you move to your left or right?
Is that something they're doing on TikTok? Put a lava lamp behind you and.
Are you going to do this during HQ or like what's the deal?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just a mood setter for the ladies on Pick Six Podcast.
You can go to youtube.com/pick6 and watch us. Maybe Wilson will drop the,
tease.
You
should get a Chiefs colored and a Buccaneers creamsicle colored, mood lamp for whoever wins the Super Bowl.
All right. I got the Chiefs.
Yeah, get a Chiefs colored, or Brinson will say you work at State Farm.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, Breach is really...
Well, if I wear a red shirt, Breach, I look like a floating head behind this red backdrop. So you have to understand how lighting works,
Breach. And then my second question for Breach, do you consider Debo's tweet on Tuesday morning, screenshot of the Tampa Bay water
and the God.
In the morning, and oh, it's so cold for a Super Bowl here in Tampa. Does that qualify as a humble brag? Yes or no?
That is a humble brag. You know what? So when this pandemic hit, the first thing I thought on Saturday was we're going to have to deal with people complaining about the temperature in the Super Bowl city. It was literally 8 straight days of it in Minnesota because the temperatures were negative 12. Debo, you haven't lived until you've been at negative 12 for a week straight. It's 48 degrees is a low. It's going to be like 60 degrees is high. You have nothing to complain about, yet there you are complaining.
Any response, Debo?
Complain about that, Debo.
27. Thunder snow there in New York. He was all masked up in a trailer. He can't talk right now. Pete's got him tied up in a trailer.
In a headlock.
In the feed, we have a Brady Quinn football show that's available to you. Brady and I break down the X's and O's of the Super Bowl. It's a really good conversation. He did a great job of explaining, move him off his spot, which is a thing you hear all the time and makes sense. But sort of, I don't know, hearing a quarterback say it kind of, you're like, all right, yeah, that really, really does make sense just how much it matters. So go check that out. We have tons of prop shows. We're micro-dosing prop shows is what I'm calling it, micro-potting. Because, you know, we really patented the emergency podcast, and there have been a lot of people who have just straight-up copied us. Maybe done it better, but whatever. We did daily. Everybody swarms to daily. We do emergency. Everybody swarms to emergency.
What are we going to invent next? Hopefully not the naked podcast. We don't need everybody to swarm to that.
Right. Or maybe we do, but we just have to be the forerunners.
Well, let's be honest. Breach is usually naked, from the neck down. He's in the full body. Here we go. Yikes.
Speaking of mood lamp.
I got a shirt on underneath.
What does that say?
What a tease. Sorry, guys.
What does that say under there?
You don't want to know.
Mandalorian?
No, it says the Dadalorian.
Oh, I was close. Where's blank when you need him? I recognize the font.
We also have a Best Bets episode with RJ Kinney and Pete Prisco tomorrow. But in this episode, we'll make some Super Bowl predictions and bold predictions from the Super Friends. We've been doing okay on them. But a little bit of housekeeping.
Wait, we've been doing okay in the bold predictions? The one where I picked 6 touchdowns by Josh Allen, and what'd you pick, Breach?
Remember I said Travis Kelce under 50 yards?
I mean, 450 total yards for Josh Allen, who ended up having like 388. I don't feel silly.
Okay. Yeah, but the pushback on Twitter, like, it's enough. Settle down, people. Stop it.
No, I want more pushback. Keep throwing in our face. That's what drives us.
You're the dad of Laurie, though. That's different.
That's right. This is the way, Ryan.
We will be live on YouTube and Twitch for the Super Bowl. If you are looking for that second screen experience, we're going to join forces. The Pick 6 Podcast crew, the Fantasy Football Today crew, and the Early Edge crew are going to team up for pregame, in-game, and post-game coverage of Super Bowl LV. The Super Friends won't be on the whole time, but we will be on a lot. I am told inside sources tell me that when they did a matrix of who will be on the most, it is me. And then Ryan will be doing HQ as well, and Breach will be breastfeeding a child during most of the Super Bowl. And of course, we'll have our recap pod live on air once Ryan is allowed to join us when he's done with his HQ duties. You can go to twitch.tv/CBS Sports HQ and youtube.com/pick6. If you're up, you're drunk, you're not drunk, sober, whatever you are, and you want to watch us do a podcast live, we'll have a chat immediately after the Super Bowl to break it all down. So come join us in those formats. You can do it on your app, on your phone. Just subscribe to CBS Sports HQ or YouTube Pick 6. You'll get an alert when we go live, and we'll have a good time breaking down the Super Bowl. Let's get into some predictions, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to make a couple of predictions, and then we'll come back and do bold predictions.
Dun, dun, dun.
These aren't all supposed to be bold?
They can be.
I need to start reading these rundowns. Sorry. I feel like Brinson just ignoring, doing my own thing, and just going.
Mm-hmm.
Breach.
Yes.
Do you want to start, or do you want Wilson to start?
You know, I have three, so I guess I'll start. Because I just did stuff and I didn't follow any directions.
Total predictions?
No, I have 4 total. I have 3 in the regular prediction column and then a bold prediction.
Right.
We only need.
So I'll start with a special teams one, to get things flowing here. And I have a prediction that there is going to be a field goal of 50 or more yards in this Super Bowl. And, let me add on to that. There have only been 5 field goals in Super Bowl history. 50 or more yards. So it rarely happens. Longest one ever is 54. Coaches get a little timid when trying the long kicks because they don't want to miss and give the other team field position at near midfield. So
50 I agree.
Or yards or longer.
I agree. That is, in fact, a prediction.
Sounds like you hate it, Wilson.
I don't hate it. I think my predictions are similarly less bold, only because, again, I'm not looking forward to people screenshotting random parts of the bowl prediction and yelling at me, which is, I think, Debo's sole intention of making us do this.
You know what the people on Twitter do, though, is that, like, this bowl prediction will end up on Twitter, and then, like, Harrison Butker will hit a 48-yard field goal, and after the game, they'll just be throwing it in my face, like, you idiot, there was no 50-yard field goals in this game, what were you thinking?
Yes, that's right. I like that, and I think that actually is bold. I think maybe we went too far in previous bowl predictions, like things like 6 touchdowns from Josh Allen, that might have been the extreme. But
the problem is when you embrace
boldness,
the nature of being bold, and you do go bold, and people take them as predictions because they're dumbasses, it ends up blowing up in your face because people make fun of you.
It's like saying, as a coach,
Tyreek Hill mic'd up, look at Travis Kelce, and say the internet forgot about us, and like I felt. I never forgot about you. I love you. We thought you were gonna win.
It's like an introductory press conference for a head coach where you say, we're gonna work hard and win football games, and okay, that's not really bold, but that's what you're supposed to say. Or if you're Dan Campbell, we're gonna bite people's kneecaps off. That's insanely bold, and you're like, well, I didn't see that coming. And I wouldn't be a little less Dan Campbell, a little more Nick Sirianni, where am I pulling off an Adam Gase?
I mean, or how about just find something in the middle?
All right. Yeah. So I think Breach went a little farther than in the middle. I think mine is pretty much in the middle. I'm going with Sammy Watkins leads the Chiefs in targets.
And I think that's pretty bold.
So the most targets he's had this season, 2020, was 9, and that was actually in week 1. He battled a calf injury. He hasn't played since week 16. I think he's going to be ready to go. He was questionable coming into this week. And I say that also because I expect that Todd Bowles, who likes to play a lot of cover two, is also going to try to try to bracket both those guys, Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. So that means more DeMarcus Robinson, more Sammy Watkins if he's healthy, more Byron Pringle, and perhaps even more of those running backs in the pass game. So I'm going to go Sammy Watkins leads the Chiefs in targets.
Ooh.
I mean, I think that's all right. Well, two schools of thought on the Sammy Watkins thing. One, he should be completely healthy because he hadn't played at all in the playoffs. He hadn't been active in the playoffs, right?
I mean, he had the calf injury, and that's why he didn't play in week 17. And so he's questionable coming into this week.
But I mean, he hadn't played at all. He hadn't played since week 16 when they beat 17-14.
He's fresh.
He's had a fairly good season. It sort of flew under the radar, but I mean, not for his contract and relative to what they brought him in for, but he had 9 targets in week 1, 8 targets in week 3, 7 targets in weeks 4 and weeks 12 after missing some games. And of course, week 12 against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and then 6 targets against Denver, and then New Orleans in week 15. So, I mean, it's not that outrageous that he could lead the team in targets. My only issue would be, do we really think that Patrick Mahomes is going to get away from Tyreek? I would ask you this a different way. If Sammy Watkins is leading the Chiefs in targets, and by the way, he had 18 targets in the 3 playoff games last year with the Chiefs, and then 16 targets in 2 playoff games the year before that. So it's not crazy to think he'll get a ton. If he leads the team in targets, does that mean that they're winning or losing?
They can still win just by, you can still target Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill 5 times each. And, Sammy Watkins has a couple long plays that makes the difference. I mean, if you're targeting him 25 times, you hope that he breaks one or two and gets into the end zone. And you've talked about it before in terms of Patrick Mahomes doing some damage with his legs too. So that could also be a plan heading into this bad boy.
I mean,
and I'll say it's a good thing because, Sammy, you mentioned all his high target numbers this year, Brinson, with that 9 in week 1 being the big one. But he led the team in targets 3 times out of all those numbers you read, and the Chiefs went 3-0 in those games. So
he also led the Chiefs in targets in the AFC Championship game last year.
I think what happens when Mahomes starts zoning in on Sammy Watkins is at first the defense is like, he's not going to keep going to him. It's not a big deal. Just keep doing what we're doing. All of a sudden, Sammy Watkins has 110 yards and 2 touchdowns on you. You're like, all right, well, we got to change something. And if you start focusing on Watkins at all, the other guys are going to burn you. So it really puts you between a rock and a hard place if you're a defense. So I think if Sammy Watkins has a big game, that makes it a lock that the Chiefs win.
So looking at last year's Super Bowl for the Chiefs, Tyreek Hill led the team with 16 targets. He had 9 catches. So clearly he was in the game plan. Number 2 in targets for the Chiefs was Damian Williams with 8. Kelce had 6 and Sammy Watkins had 6. So he was in the mix. He was there. He had 10 fewer than Tyreek Hill, but again, they were dead set on getting Tyreek Hill the ball. And Tyreek Hill had 105 total yards, and 1 came on that 44-yard play. So,
well, I was going to say, I think that if Damian Williams and Tyreek Hill, like those numbers, when you look at those target numbers, that's a team that was down 20-10.
Right.
And I think to Breach's point with the Sammy Watkins stuff, If your offense is running through Sammy Watkins and Mecole Hardman, that's not the worst thing in the world. Now, Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill would love to get, I mean, you want to have them putting up huge numbers. But if Hardman and Sammy Watkins are catching passes, it means that they are in, at worst, one-on-one man coverage.
Yep.
Because that means that Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce are absolutely smothered and bracketed, and the numbers are so, so favorable for guys with Watkins speed and Hardman speed, that there's going to be some big play potential for them to really hit the Bucs hard if they are getting that sort of target share. So,
and the Chiefs are 14-2 when Sammy Watkins gets 7 or more targets in a game.
Wow. Breach.
Did you look that up on, did you do the math like really quick, like with your fingers? Or did you look it up on
stats? I did it really fast while you guys were talking. That's why I've been silent.
Rain Man.
Sometimes people don't really get like the intricacies of the show. But sometimes I see Breach doing some like galaxy brain math.
You see the hamster.
I see the hamster like sprinting. And so I filibuster a little bit longer to give Breach time to count with his fingers and let the hamsters whirl. Breach, I also have a confession to make.
Uh-oh. Oh boy. It'd be bad.
This is not late night diaries, Brinson. This is the Pick 6 podcast.
No, so I don't know how to explain this, but
oh boy,
four times in the last 48 hours, I've been doing radio hits and I have almost said,
Tyron Mathieu.
Like I've had to stop myself. I said, Tyron Ma. And I'm like, Matthew. I've heard Mathieu so many times.
That's hilarious.
Brain, and I keep wanting to say
Tyron Mathieu.
And I'm like almost laugh while I'm doing it. I'm like, Tyron Matthew. And I've had to like reteach my brain, but my prediction is going to be that Tyron Matthieu, aka the Honey Badger, aka
Tyron Mathieu,
is going to have two interceptions in this game.
Like it.
And the logic for that is that A, Tyron Matthieu is an awesome freaking football player. So that helps. And then B, that I think there is a distinct possibility that the Chiefs have a lead in the second half. And if that is the case, especially if it's like a 10-point plus lead, Tom Brady is going to be throwing into a lot of coverage. And the Chiefs will be able to pin their ears back, get after Tom Brady, and that could result in some balls floating a little bit and some potential passes hanging up in the air. And when passes are hanging up in the air against the Chiefs defense, then you have a guy in Tyron Matthieu who is very capable of picking those off and creating havoc on the defensive side of the ball. By the way, a shout out to Debo for the stat. Tyron Matthieu, one of 27 players with multiple interceptions on deep throws this season in both the regular and postseason. Tom Brady, of course, led the league in percent of pass attempts at least 20 yards down the field, throwing deep 16%+ of the time.
And along with that stat, the Chiefs led the NFL on interceptions on deep ball throws, passes of 20 or more yards. And also, if Tyron Matthieu ends up with two interceptions, that will be the second most in a Super Bowl in NFL history. The record's three. There's a bunch of guys tied with two, so that's a big one.
Do you think that there is any value at 40-1 in Tyron Matthieu for Super Bowl MVP? I kind of do.
Yeah, put $10 down. I mean,
if there's a game, this is a game where if you like a defensive player, you do it because, you know, it's not crazy to think that someone sacks Tom Brady four or five times. It's not crazy to think that someone gets two interceptions. You know, we saw Ryan's boy, Neil O'Donnell, throw Super Bowl 30, with three interceptions. How many interceptions did he throw?
There it is. There's vindictive breach.
Throwing the Super Bowl?
No. Well, Larry Brown. Was it Larry Brown for the Cowboys?
Yeah.
Larry Brown for the Cowboys? Won MVP that year. And so I'm just referring to times where a defensive player won and how they won. So I don't think it's that crazy, especially if you think there's going to be a lot of passes thrown in this game. And like Brady doesn't even have to be losing to throw interceptions. We saw in the NFC title game, those three interceptions on seven passes came when they were winning in the third quarter. So Brady interceptions can come anytime.
He threw two in the week 12 meeting and one was one-on-one coverage. Bashaud Breeland made a nice play. Matthew may have had the other one. I have to double check.
He didn't have the other one. And, yeah.
And that was on a bad ball. Oh, that second one was because Mike Evans ran the wrong hot route and Brady threw the ball. There was some miscommunication. I think the ball hit Daniel Sorensen in the dome. And then your boy Tyron Matthieu made the play.
Six interceptions on the season, 1-2 interception game against Denver. And of course, five other single. Is that right?
By the way, do you know what we call Neil O'Donnell?
Including the playoffs, seven interceptions of the season.
I would like to know.
Rich man's Andy Dalton.
I believe it. They both played for the Bengals. Except Andy Dalton has zero career interceptions in the Super Bowl, Wilson. True, so suck
true,
it.
True that. You just reverse dunk on yourself. Do we have the audio yet? A breach going 9-7 yet? Did we cut that yet?
The Lions go 9-7 with Jared.
I just think you misheard. I don't think it was as bold as you're trying to make it sound like it was.
Misheard.
I think you said something like maybe they go 8-8 or 9-7. And
like, this wasn't like Ryan's. There's a path to 9-7 and the Cowboys win the Super Bowl.
And it's not a difficult path.
The Cowboys will be 3-3 after they win.
Thank you.
Path to 9 wins. It's not a difficult path.
I sound like such a douche too, which makes it worse. That's what I get for defending Andy Dalton. That's a lesson I've learned.
That's a good lesson to learn. Okay, let's spin it back around. Wilson. Or Breach. Excuse me, Breach, yeah.
You know what? I'm glad you made that prediction because now I can scrap one of my extra ones. My bonus one was just going to be that anyone has two interceptions, because that's a big deal. You made a specific player. I like that better. So my second prediction is going to be that someone in this game, doesn't matter who, is going to catch three touchdown passes.
Ooh, spicy.
That would tie the NFL record for most touchdown catches in a Super Bowl. But this seems like, whether it's Mike Evans, whether it's Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, whether it could be Gronk. Maybe Gronk comes out and just explodes in the Super Bowl. But this feels like the game where it could happen, just because there's so many targets and these quarterbacks love to throw the ball.
So if you wanted to splash down on this, William Hill actually has odds on three or more touchdown score in the game. And I think there's some interesting options here. Three touchdowns is a ton, obviously. Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, the top options at 14-1. Tyreek Hill, of course, had three touchdowns against the Buccaneers in week 12 of this game, 269 receiving yards. Kelce, just a red zone beast. I would think those are your, I mean, obviously those are the favorites to do it. From the then you have three Buccaneers, Mike Evans and Leonard Fournette at 25-1, which I guess isn't that crazy, because Fournette's going to get most of the rushing work, especially down at the goal line. And also, you know, we saw earlier in the playoffs, certainly capable of catching a, you know, pass and taking it 20 yards for a touchdown or even something shorter. Chris Godwin, 28-1. Daryl Williams and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 33-1. And then it really drops off. Mecole Hardman, 50-1. Antonio Brown and Rob Gronkowski and Patrick Mahomes and Ronald Jones all tied at 66-1. Sammy Watkins and Cameron Brate, 80-1. Scotty Miller, 125. And Le'Veon Bell and Tom Brady and DeMarcus Robinson, 125. So I think, if you're betting on that, I'm not sure that 14-1 is enough to make it worth your while for Tyreek Hill scoring three touchdowns.
Yeah, that is a little, I'd look for someone with like Mike Evans at 25-1 is very interesting. Clyde Edwards-Helaire at 33-1 is Gronk at 66-1. Again, Gronk is just one of those, you know, like in the Packers game, in the NFC title game, you just forgot about him. All of a sudden they run that tight end screen to the other side and no, he didn't score, but he just comes up with these random big plays and, you know, they're in a Super Bowl, Brady looking for Gronk. It's not crazy to think that he keeps going to the well, and maybe Wilson's crazy prediction comes true. Sammy Watkins gets all the targets, all of a sudden ends up with three touchdowns, and that one at 80-1, I think, is pretty interesting if you're thinking about going long shot.
I can't believe Gronk is just 66-1.
Should it be 69?
You got it, Dad.
I was trying to find something where you could – I was trying to see if you could parlay, because I have on my local, you have a thing where you can do a prop builder. And so you can do Tyreek Hill over 150 receiving yards and three receiving touchdowns, and it'd be like 25-1. And you have to assume that if Tyreek Hill is going to get three receiving touchdowns, that he's probably going to have over 150 receiving yards, right? I mean, that would be
That'd be awesome if he did.
I mean, he had three touchdowns and like 148 receiving yards. You're just losing your mind. I don't mind. I don't mind the three touchdown thing. The only issue I would have is if Antonio Brown plays. Do we really see the concentration on one player in terms of red zone targets? Because these two teams like to spread them around. I mean, Mahomes will sneak, throw to the running backs. Kelce's likes to post up. You know, they do the jet sweeps, all of that.
That's absolutely true, but I do think the one thing that needs to happen. So, you know, like you just said, it's random. That first touchdown is going to be completely random. It's just whoever gets it because they're going through. But then I feel like if a guy gets a second touchdown and you get down there again, then the quarterback's thinking, oh, I already have two touchdowns. Like you feel like you have that connection going and you're going to look for that person first, not because you're trying to get them three touchdowns, but because it's like, hey, we're already working down here. So if anybody gets to two touchdowns, I would feel really good about three, obviously. But, you know, you just want to see early if any quarterback's feeling a connection. You know, like you said, Tyreek Hill got, what, 15 targets last year in the Super Bowl?
16. Yeah.
16. So if there's a situation like that and you have Tyreek for three touchdowns, you're going to feel pretty good if Tom Brady's just thrown it to Antonio Brown on every other play.
So you're saying that if somebody has two touchdowns, you feel better about them getting three than if they had one?
Obviously, the numbers, that is the dumbest statement ever. But I'm saying from a chemistry point of view where the quarterback is, if you've already thrown two touchdown passes to someone, I think naturally you're going to look to that person when you get close enough to throw a third one because you're comfortable with them.
Incidentally, not the dumbest thing you've said this week. 9-7 for the Lions.
And I will say, in the only two games in Super Bowl history where there were three touchdowns, Jerry Rice had both of them. He finished with 148 yards receiving in Super Bowl 24, got targeted 9 times, caught 7 passes for 148. And then in Super Bowl whatever against the Chargers, I think 29, he got targeted 13 times, caught 10 passes for 149 yards, and had 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's that crazy, but it's probably got to be Kelce or Hill. And with Kelce, it's got to be like 3 short yardage touchdown catches. With Hill, it's got to be just 3 bombs. But, you know, look, it happened earlier this season against the same team they're playing, so it's not out of the question. Wilson, what about you?
I'm going to stick with threes as well, but I'm saying Shaq Barrett gets 3 sacks. And you might say, well, that's not that bold. Shaq Barrett's had 3 sacks exactly 1 time this season. It came last week in the Packers playoff game. He had 8 total prior to the playoffs in 2020 sacks. Last year, we all know he had 19 and a half. That's why they franchised him. But him, JPP on the outside, Vita Vea, and Dominican Sue on the inside, that front four is going to be able to get after Tom Brady without much in terms of blitzing. Also, it's great because Patrick Mahomes is really good against the blitz. Also, Eric Fisher, the left tackle, is out. Mike Rimmers is going to move over to left tackle from right tackle. Austin Wiley is going to move from right guard to right tackle. They have a lot of moving parts, a lot of issues with the offensive line in terms of health. And Shaq Barrett has been getting after it. Let's see. He had 6 pressures along with JPP in that Packers game, and they were harassing the doo-doo out of Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is certainly much more mobile than Tom Brady. Let's see what else we got. Most sacks in the last 2 seasons. Shaq Barrett is number 1 ahead of TJ Watt. That's pretty crazy. Shaq Barrett the last 2 seasons is 3rd in total pressures. I think he's just behind Aaron Donald and obviously someone else, but that's not a bad group. And most turnovers caused via pressure, Shaq Barrett's number 1 with 13 the last 2 seasons, ahead of Bud Dupree by 4 fumbles. And also, this is a fun fact. This isn't about Shaq Barrett, but his teammate, JPP. JPP has never lost a postseason game. He's 7-0.
That is a fun fact.
That is a fun fact. I always think you could have gotten away with saying that the Bucs will have 3 sacks because their over-under for a team is 2 sacks.
Really? Oh, I love it.
Was on a prop show earlier this week and said he loves the over 2.
Love the over.
Yeah,
and don't forget last year, the 49ers harassed the crap out of Mahomes in the final.
And that offensive line is in bad shape. It wouldn't be, I mean, I have like a little thing, like I keep kind of, it all depends on how you think. Actually, you know what? It doesn't even depend on how the game goes. And so Larry and I talked about this, and Drew Dinsick and I were on the Flea Flicker betting podcast with a couple of dudes from over in London. Check that out. It was a good talk. And you know, one of the things we pointed out, and we talked about this with Larry too, is that there's a ton, like, you are going to see a lot of Patrick Mahomes passing attempts in this game because you can't run against the Buccaneers. And if you have a bunch of passing attempts, you know what that usually equals? Sacks.
Mm-hmm.
The more dropbacks you have, Breach, the more sacks you possibly get.
Yeah. Brenton, that is sounding a lot like my, if you have 2 touchdowns, you can get 3 touchdowns easier point, but it is a good point. like I thought mine was also, but when you say it out loud, you're like, wait, was it so obvious? No, but it is a good point. And the one thing I will say is that, in the games, Patrick Mahomes started 15 games this year. He only took 3 or more sacks 4 times. We can include the playoffs. So up that 15 to 17. So 4 out of 17 games. So it's not easy to sack him because he gets rid of the ball so quickly. This isn't Aaron Rodgers where he just keys in on Devontae Adams. And if Adams isn't there, he kind of hesitates and you get your chance to get the sack. So he doesn't always get the ball out as quickly as Mahomes. Mahomes doesn't care. It's like every single person on the field can be his first read. If Hill's not there, he just instantly like no looks it to Kelce. You just don't know what he's going to do. So he's not an easy quarterback to sack. Plus he's mobile. So this is a good prediction. If Shaq Barrett gets 3 sacks and the Buccaneers win, I think that might be enough to win MVP. So I like that prediction. And the teams that got to Mahomes 3 times or more, two of the four were divisional rivals with the Raiders and Broncos. So, you know, teams that knew him well. And then the other two were the Saints and the Dolphins.
It's kind of fascinating to look at like the Super Bowl record book. Tom Brady is going to pass 3,000 yards in Super Bowl passing yards, unless he goes for less than like 150. this Super Bowl. That's insane. He's going to have 3,000 passing yards in Super Bowls.
And to make that more insane, no other quarterback in NFL history even has 1,200.
Right. Kurt Warner. And Joe Montana has 1,142. Brady's going to be at 3,000 passing yards. That is absolutely wild. Ben Roethlisberger played in 3 Super Bowls. Probably won't play in another one, but that's okay. 642 passing yards.
Well, he had like 4 in the first one, so that one doesn't really count.
Anyway, he had like 5 against the Seahawks.
That was the first one.
I thought he played in
That was 2005.
Was it really? It was. What was this? Oh, the second one was the Cardinals.
Cardinals. He played good in that game. He actually didn't play bad.
The third one was Antonio Holmes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was great in the Cardinals game. Tom Brady also, if he throws for, he has a chance to move into 20 passing touchdown territory. He has 18 career Super Bowl passes. Next close.
Touchdown passes?
Touchdown passes, yeah.
He's getting 20. No doubt about it.
Next closest is 11.
Joe Montana?
Yes. Then Terry Bradshaw with 9. Here's an almost unbreakable one.
Well, real quick, if Patrick Mahomes throws for 360 yards against the Buccaneers, he will crack the top 10 list for career passing yards in the Super Bowl.
What if he throws 2 games? What if he throws 10 touchdowns? Where would he be on the list?
You don't want to know. How many throw last year?
He'll be second behind Brady.
Will he?
Didn't he have 2 last year?
Yeah, he will be second behind Brady.
It can happen.
Terry Bradshaw, 4 Super Bowls, averaged over the course of the 4 games, 11.1 yards per pass attempt. That is wild.
He probably threw 10 times. They were all bombs to Lynn Swann and John Stallworth.
He is actually not even in the top 10. That's impossible.
Of passing yards?
Of pass attempts.
They didn't throw. They ran the ball a ton.
Oh, no, sorry. It was game pass attempts. I'm wrong. He's 10th with 84 pass attempts in 4 games.
Yeah, so 20, 21 a game. How about that?
That is wild.
That's efficient, baby.
Troy Aikman, first all time, 3 games, 70% completions over Super Bowls.
All the teams are so good.
Wilson joked about Mahomes throwing 10 touchdowns. If he just throws 4 touchdown passes, he'll be tied for the 5th most all time in Super Bowl history.
Do you know who holds the record for longest pass in Super Bowl history?
I do know that because I was going to make it my bold prediction. Then it was so absurd that I backed off it.
Antoine Randall-El?
Ooh, is he up there? No, he's not even top 10.
Oh, he had like a 45, 50 yard pass.
No, everybody in the top 10 is above 70.
I'll give you a hint, Ryan. He plays for Brinson's favorite team. His real favorite team.
Played for my favorite team.
Oh, wait, it's not the Chargers. It's the Panthers.
It's up to you to guess.
The Chargers were there. Sam Humphries. I don't think they did anything.
I don't like the Chargers anymore.
Yeah. So who did Cam throw it to? No. Was it Jake DeLome?
Yes.
Jake DeLome to Steve Smith?
Yeah, I believe so. 85.
No, it was not. It was to Muhammad.
Hussein Muhammad.
Oh, God, Moosen. He wasn't exactly a burn. Good for Moosen.
Number 2, Brett Favre at 81, Elway at 80. Elway's was actually in 2015 when he stormed out of the field at halftime and forced his way into.
Oh, that was a joke. Gotcha.
You're like, no, that's not right.
Jake DeLome. Yeah, I didn't think it would be Cam because they didn't play well in that game. I didn't have a recollection of him doing anything.
They only scored 1 touchdown.
I don't even know how they scored. How'd they score? Exactly.
24-10.
How did they score? Was it a short pass?
It wasn't an 80-yard pass. I know that.
It definitely was not an 80-yard pass.
Good for old Jake DeLome.
It didn't feel when they scored like it was even close. I want to say.
Would you rather be a Jake DeLome or a Patrick Mahomes?
It was a 1-yard run by Jonathan Stewart, literally the opposite of an 85-yard pass.
Yeah, that's right.
The least exciting touchdown in Super Bowl history.
Also, why did you run it with Jonathan Stewart from the 1-yard line when you have Cam Newton? Makes no damn sense. That's my show.
Yeah, that was there. That's the reason they lost.
Okay. I don't know why I went down that rabbit hole. I know I went down the rabbit hole, but, here's my second prediction. I think this is bold. It's definitely bold.
Doesn't have to be bold, remember?
I know, but, Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes will combine for 100 pass attempts in this game.
Golly.
Ooh.
That is bold.
It's pretty bold.
How many times has the quarterback thrown the ball 50 times in the Super Bowl?
6.
You making that up or you actually know?
I been talking to you about Super Bowl records for like 5 minutes. I'm on the page.
Six times in 54 games.
Can you name the quarterbacks who threw it 50 or more times? There are only
probably
four quarterbacks who have done it.
Matt Ryan and Tom Brady.
Matt Ryan is not correct, but Tom Brady is in that Super Bowl. Yes. And also
Tom Brady did it against the Eagles. Correct. I don't think, did he do it against the Falcons?
Yes.
Yeah. He did against the Eagles when he threw for 505 yards.
62 times against the Falcons.
Bart Starr in Super Bowl I?
No. So you got Tom Brady. He's first and fourth. And there's two more quarterbacks who have done it.
What is the
oldest? He didn't do it against the Eagles. Oh, my gosh.
What is the oldest?
Wasn't against the Eagles?
No, what? He did it against the Seahawks.
Oh, you're right. Against the Seahawks. Yeah, that's right.
What game happened the longest ago? Like how far back? How many decades ago?
90s. The guy who did it twice did it in the 90s.
John Elway?
Jim Kelly.
Jim Kelly.
Because they got beat up so bad, and you're just thrown the whole game in those last three Super Bowls.
And then the final one.
Kurt Warner?
Final one was against Tom Brady with a familiar quarterback.
Eli?
You got to think about a comeback.
It's not Eli.
Quarterback that's familiar to
Russ?
Donovan.
Yes.
Don McNabb. Because we already guessed everyone. Wilson already guessed Kurt Warner and Eli. We're running out of quarterbacks. And it wasn't Jared Goff.
Brady has 62 is the record against the Falcons. Jim Kelly, 58. And that was against Washington when they were down. Oh, my God. They were down like 31-0 or whatever it was.
Did they win that game?
What's that? No,
man.
McNabb is third all time with 51 against the Patriots, obviously. Then Tom Brady against the Seahawks and Jim Kelly against the Cowboys. And that beat down the old Leon Lett game.
And now Googling Brinson's career pass attempt or game pass attempts, of the quarterbacks who threw the 10 most pass attempts in a Super Bowl, they went 1-9.
Correct.
That makes sense.
And the only win was Brady against the Seahawks because Russell Wilson threw an interception.
So how are we having two quarterbacks throw 50? Who's winning that game?
So here's my theory.
Well, he didn't say they're both throwing 50. He said they're combining for 100. Right. So it could be 55-45.
I think the Chiefs will have a lead. And I think the Chiefs will also have to throw to ice the game because they can't run against the Bucs at all.
They don't like running either.
And they don't like running. They're not very good at running. They're missing two tackles. I think Mahomes gets to 45 bare minimum. And with a 10-point-plus lead, I think you see Tom Brady throw the ball 55-plus times.
Hey, let me ask you this. Who wins if both quarterbacks get COVID? Blaine Gabbert versus Chad Henne.
I'm definitely not picking Blaine Gabbert.
But weren't those guys on the Jaguars at the same time?
Probably, yeah.
I think so. I think you're taking the Chiefs.
I wonder if anyone's taking Blaine Gabbert.
I mean, Bruce Arians would tell you he loves Blaine Gabbert.
He might tell you he hates him. He might make Byron Leftwich play.
That's right.
All right, here's a question for you guys, because Brinson's 100 pass attempt question. How many pass attempts do you think they combined for in the first meeting?
Well, Mahomes had 49. Brady had – because I looked at this. I was like, oh, they got to be over – and I think Brady had like – is it like 31 or something?
20. What do you think, Wilson? I just did the math on your prediction, Brinson. That's 80.
Yes, so I'm going to say they probably combined for 80.
I'm going to say they combined for 81.
They combined for 90.
Oh,
I win. I'm closer. It didn't go over.
See that? Dun, dun, dun,
dun. What a perfect job. What a perfect breach prediction. Because it like seems like it's insane and bold, but then like the math actually backs up that 100 pass attempts is entirely possible.
And in that game, Chiefs are up 17-0 at half, 27-10. Late in the fourth, or 2010, late in the fourth.
And the Buccaneers scored twice, and the Chiefs sort of let him back into the game. I think the Chiefs will throw more, so I think Mahomes could get to 55 potentially. All right, let's take a break, and when we come back, our bold predictions for Super Bowl LV. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family.
The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features, like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
All right, so you want some bold predictions? You want some great content in your life? You need to subscribe to John Breach's Pick Six newsletter. He's doing so well. He got a company-wide shout out from the Suits at the Quarterly Review.
Breach delivers. I love the Suits.
Love the Suits. I'm not calling them Suits to be mean. In fact, the suit in question is a great dude who wasn't even wearing a suit. At any rate, what's that?
Too late. You can't go back. You already made it seem like you didn't like him.
He knows I like him.
That's not what I'm hearing.
Anyway, John.
CBSSports.com/newsletter/pick6. I know the website now because Brinson crushes me every time I bring up the newsletter, but don't know my own website to subscribe. I now do know it. CBSSports.com/newsletters/pick6.
Go and subscribe. If you listen to this podcast religiously and you haven't subscribed, please go do so. It's just one email from Breach a day around 2 p.m. You can open it, you hook them up with the open rate, and you'll find yourself surprisingly enthralled.
Dare you to read it and not be able to get Breach's voice out of your head. So if that's what you're looking for more of in your life, read this podcast. I mean, read the newsletter and hear Tyron Mathieu and all the other stupid things he says. Tyron Mathieu.
All right, let's go to bold predictions. Who wants to go first? Breach, I guess we'll grade the boldness afterwards. Breach, you can go first because that'll give you final say on the grade.
All right. The bold prediction from me.
By the way, did you realize that you're wearing the Tom Brady Super Bowl jacket?
No, it's not Tom Brady, but it's from that Super Bowl. It's neutral. It says Falcons and Patriots. I got a Super Bowl 51 pullover.
Is that the one I got too, or did I?
No, that's the year you got the hoodie in Minnesota where we got the same one.
I think I got my son a t-shirt from that one.
But it's Super Bowl week, so I'm just wearing a new Super Bowl thing on the podcast since we're not at this one. But Debo isn't. He's complaining about the weather.
All right, your bold prediction.
All right, my bold prediction is that Super Bowl 55 will set the Super Bowl record for most points ever scored.
I'm laughing because I thought you were going to say it's going to set the Super Bowl record for lowest attendance ever. Can you bet on that?
Yeah. Here's a fun fact is that, the Chiefs, after this game is played, will have been taken part in the three lowest attended Super Bowls of all time.
1, 2, and 55.
No, they didn't play in one. They played in one or two. They didn't play in both of them. They played in one. Yeah, so 1, 54, and 55.
Last year was lowest attendance?
Last year was the second lowest attendance.
Just because of the size of the stadium?
Just because of whatever. I don't know. It was the second lowest attendance Super Bowl.
I'm guessing the size of the stadium because it was sold out.
And they roped off a bunch for the media.
Yeah, actually they did. It was a lot, except for Brinson, who was stuck in the corner and couldn't see, even though he was with the elites in the press box.
Here, I found my tweet when I sent out the attendance.
Wow, that's crazy. 62,417.
It was awesome. The atmosphere.
Yeah, blah, blah. And Super Bowl I had 61,946. So literally only roughly a 500 person difference. Super Bowl 54 almost had lower attendance than Super Bowl I. I guess people just don't want to watch the Chiefs in person.
It's pretty crazy that there were 62,000 people at Super Bowl I.
Yeah. And no, that's why that's crazy that Super Bowl 54 almost had lower. I don't think the NFL really cares about attendance anymore because all the money is watching it at home and you know,
I think
TV
they
rights.
Played it. I think Super Bowl I was played in the Rose Bowl and it was played in the afternoon.
I mean, if you, I think if you asked a random person, like how many people attended Super Bowl I?
Yeah, but that was
25,000.
That was 35 years ago now, but it was football was actually, I feel like really extremely popular back then.
It was at the Coliseum. But you were right. It was in Los Angeles, yeah.
And you know,
popular. I'm just saying that you know, I wouldn't have expected.
The only difference is everyone wore suits and hats to the game back then. Think about that for a second. Like you see it dressed up to go to a sporting event. Can you imagine rolling into the sporting event wearing a suit and a tie and a Ward Cleaver hat?
I miss those days.
I bet you do, Mike Nolan.
There have been 8 Super Bowls with less than 70,000 people in them. Broncos, Packers in 98. Pats Giants in 2012. We were at that one.
Again, I think the smaller venues are better for atmosphere, especially when the Super Bowls are filled with, in large part, corporate folks. Sure. I can't really comment. I mean, we were at the Atlanta Super Bowl, but it was.
Patriots is on here too.
That was the Jacksonville, right?
No, No. The one we went to.
Oh, the most recent one.
Or you didn't go to. Yeah.
US, which one?
The where the Eagles won the Super Bowl was.
Oh, yeah. It was in Minnesota.
I just wonder if maybe they've taken the stadiums, cause you look at these, like you're talking about the, well,
stadiums are,
go ahead. Sorry.
I feel like stadiums are smaller. Like the Steelers, the Heinz Field is smaller in terms of the newer stadiums. I would imagine Atlanta's bigger. I mean, we were all there, but it's hard to tell what the atmosphere was like cause we were stuck in the corner cause the issues of getting into the press box. But I feel like smaller venues are better for.
You know the record for most attended
Super Bowl? How crazy is it the Chiefs have played in the 3 lowest attended Super Bowls of all time and they've only been to 4 Super Bowls?
It's going to be it's going to be 100,000 of the Coliseum or the Rose Bowl.
The Super Bowl 1 was not Dallas. Rose Bowl, it was the Los Angeles Coliseum.
How many 100,000?
61,000 for the Super Bowl 1. But the most attended ever is Rams Steelers in 1980.
That was in Los Angeles.
Rose Bowl, 103,000.
There you go. Boom. Crushed it. I used to have a Super Bowl book like back in the day.
That was the closest any team's ever played to being at home. Sorry, Ryan.
Of the 6 most attended Super Bowls in professional football history, 5 are at the Rose Bowl. Can you guess where the next one was? It was also over 100.
Wait, start the question again.
There's 6, the 6 most attended Super Bowls in NFL.
Saint, New Orleans.
Dallas.
Yes.
Jerry World. I thought Jerry World was going to have
the
record.
I thought you meant in terms of frequency of the game being played in that city.
Ryan, finish your story. You had a Super Bowl book. I interrupted
you.
Oh,
it's not that exciting. I got it. I'm so old that the Super Bowl book ran through Super Bowl I, obviously, but all the way through the 49ers Bengals Super Bowl. And like the pictures were all glossy. It had all the stadium, not to call you up, Reach, but it had all the stadium attendance records. And I do remember that one out in California being like 100,000, thinking, wow, that's a lot of people wearing suits and pipes.
So real quick on this bold prediction, highest scoring game in NFL history. Do you guys know what the highest scoring game in Super Bowl history? Do you guys know what the highest scoring game in Super Bowl history was and how many points were scored?
57. Isn't that the one we talked about yesterday?
Incorrect.
There's more than that.
Ryan, one of them was literally like 2 years
ago. It's
3 years ago.
It's gotta be a Patriots Eagles.
Oh, that's what I meant. I meant over 57 because that's the only spread that hit. It was 28-28 at half. I mean, at regulation.
Patriots Eagles was 74 points, and it is the second highest scoring Super Bowl in history.
Is the other one with the game? Is that 49ers Broncos?
Bills, right?
I was going to say 49ers Broncos.
You got half the teams right. 49ers beat the Broncos 55-10, so it totaled at 65.
Oh, maybe it's 49ers Chargers that bloodbath.
49ers Chargers bloodbath. 49ers won 49-26. So 75. So if they're going to tie or beat that record, 75 is the number you got to get.
A really bold prediction.
That's up there. This I mean, but I could total. See a situation. I think like 45-38. That's what you get, or 45-35 or 45-31, or the Chiefs need to jump out to a lead, or maybe they play from behind. I don't know, but I think it's doable as long as it's not pouring down rain.
What about 76-0? What are the chances that happen?
0%.
Okay. I think the situation you're looking for, look, you can get there with 49-26.
Yeah.
I don't think the Bucs, and I
but
said.
Wait a second. Who's scoring 49 points on that Buccaneers defense with that offensive line?
The Tyreek Hill just running go routes on blitzes.
Is he playing left tackle as well?
I mean, the Saints scored 38 on that Buccaneers defense.
Yeah, but Drew Brees is better than Patrick Mahomes. Everyone knows that.
That's a bold prediction.
Somebody needs to rip that and put it on Twitter right now.
I know, right?
The Buccaneers gave up 30 more points just 3 times a season, 2 of them against the Saints.
The Chiefs could have scored 30 points against the Buccaneers.
But they did. What are you talking about? They scored 27.
I mean, but they were up 27-10 late in the third quarter. I think you get there by virtue of, do you remember the game between the Pats and the Chiefs on Sunday night? It might have been Mahomes' rookie year where
he didn't play.
His first year as a starter.
Well, no, because his rookie season, Alex Smith, they went in there week 1-1.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking about it was Sunday night. I'm going to find it real quick. Yes, here it is. Oh, yeah, this is how you get there. Sunday night, week 6 of 2018. And the score at halftime was Patriots 24, Chiefs 9. And it looked like the Patriots were just going to snuff out. It was like, oh, Belichick figured out another young quarterback, 24-9 after Sony Michel punches one in at the 2-minute warning. And then all hell broke loose. It was 27-26 after a Tyreek Hill touchdown pass at the end of the third quarter. And the final was 43-40. Cause I could just see a situation where you've got this like one team gets a big lead. The other team pulls closer. You take a couple of blows from each one. And then the fourth quarter is just this wild barrage of scoring. Like I think that's a possible. Like outcome of this game.
And the other part is I let you know, like you looked at the schedule, you saw how many Mahomes when you made your 100 pass attempts prediction, like they got the 90. It's doable, but not crazy. And looking at the Chiefs schedule, their high scoring total this year was 72 in a game against the Raiders. And that was a game that was 24-24 at halftime. And I could see the Super Bowl playing out like that. And you know, obviously you need to get the 3 more points. And then the Buccaneers highest total this season was 71. And that was a game against the Falcons where they won 44-27. And that was a game that was 23-20 in the third quarter. And, you know, if the points keep flowing, that's how you do it. So both these teams have hit the 70-point mark this season. So I think that 75 is within the realm of possibility without being bold, but not completely crazy.
Sure. Wilson, your bold prediction.
It's not quite as bold as Breach's, but Patrick Mahomes scores 4 touchdowns. He's only scored more than 4 touchdowns twice this season. He did it against the Jets, so that doesn't even count where he had 5 touchdowns, and then he did it again against the Ravens, which does count. He had 4 touchdowns and another rushing touchdown. So I think he has 4 total against a really good defense, and that helps get to that over that Breach is looking for and helps get Sammy Watkins over his target total, which I need.
4 passing touchdowns for Patrick Mahomes.
4 any kind of touchdowns. He can have 4.
We forgot to grade Breach's boldness. I think you got to give him an A.
Yeah, I like it. It's an A.
Yes.
It's tough. It's possible, but it's a long shot, and that's the whole point. That's why it's bold. It's not a boring prediction.
And, of course, I thought of that because I was like, well, Wilson gets a C-plus for this, and I'd be generous.
That's fine.
4 touchdowns for Mahomes? That's bold?
Go to 6.
He got humiliated by a Josh Allen 6 touchdown prediction, and now you're like limping out of your cave to be like 4 from the home.
How many times did he score more than 4 touchdowns during the season?
There have been 6 quarterbacks that have thrown 4 more touchdown passes in a Super Bowl.
There you go. Been 54 Super Bowls. That seems pretty bold.
How many in the last 10 years?
I don't know. Probably Tom Brady. I think that's it.
There you go.
Super Bowl 49.
There you go. 10%. Seems pretty bold to me. Thank you, Benson.
Surprising. I'll admit that was a surprising twist.
Didn't see that coming.
My son loves to say, did you see that coming? I did not.
No, I did not.
I didn't see that coming.
Thanks, Breach.
Young 6, Montana 5, Brady 4 against the Seahawks. Aikman 4, Doug Williams 4, Terry Bradshaw 4, Brady and Foles 3 each in that game. Flacco 3.
Yes.
There's just a, okay. I mean, here's the thing.
Wait. Let me bring up Doug Williams 4 real quick, because this is where Wilson could have gotten bold. Doug Williams threw 4 touchdown passes in 1 quarter.
Ooh.
In 1 quarter. And then throw any the rest of the game.
Well, that's just crazy. I mean, Patrick Mahomes.
Well, it's been done before, so it's not completely crazy.
One out of 54. I think that's makes it pretty crazy.
I just think, look, here's a list of guys with 3 passing touchdowns in the Super Bowl. And so Mahomes could throw for 3 and run for 1.
Yeah. He could rush for 4.
Just listen to the list. Nick Foles, Joe Flacco, Donovan McNabb, Jake Delhomme, Phil Simms, Jim Plunkett, Roger Staubach, Joe Montana, Brett Favre, Kurt Warner, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. This is a lot of guys.
That's 3, though.
Yeah, but 3 and 1 rush is 4.
What if he rushes for 4?
I'm giving you a C. I'm bumping my grade down to a C- because you're defending it.
Breach, how many quarterbacks have rushed for 4 touchdowns? I mean, if that happens, what's Brinson going to do then?
There's actually been – so we said there were 6 quarterbacks that have thrown for 4 or more touchdowns. There's only been 4 players ever who have rushed for 4, and there has been a quarterback. It was John Elway.
Nice. No,
that's his career. Just kidding. His 4 career rushing.
There we go.
What?
Yeah, so that happens.
The most anybody's ever rushed for is 3, and it was the Broncos. Yep.
There we go. I mean, so anyway, it can happen any number of ways.
Elway having 4 career rushing TDs is crazy, though.
Well, he has the helicopter one, so that counts as 2.
That's true.
Hmm. Jim McMahon has 2.
I will give Wilson's prediction a – would you give it, Brinson, C minus?
C minus.
I'm going to give it a B minus.
That's generous.
Okay. When it happens, suck it, nerds.
Okay. Goodness. If it's right, then it wasn't bold enough.
I know. I knew that's what was going to be the next words out of your mouth. Tell Josh Allen and his 6 TDs how bold that was.
I almost messed that one up bad. Oh, my goodness gracious. This is pretty crazy. So, in terms of game receptions, there are, do you know how many New England players have more in Super Bowl history? How many players for the New England Patriots have 10 or more receptions in a single game, single Super Bowl?
None.
I can think of 3 off the top of my head. So there's at least 3.
That was close. Julian Edelman.
Edelman, James White, and Deion Branch.
Yep. There's 2 more. There's 1 more obvious one, I think.
Gronk?
Oh, I might have counted Deion Branch twice. Crap. I did count Deion Branch twice.
Troy Brown. Twice.
No, Gronk's not 1. All right, so there's 5 guys who counted Deion Branch twice.
Did he do it twice?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. The other 2 are pretty tough to get. Well, 1 of them is easy.
Troy Brown.
You named Julian Edelman. So it stand a reason that you might name?
Oh, yeah, Wes Welker.
Wes Welker.
And then,
I'm trying to steal it from Wilson.
And then the other one was Shane Vereen.
I would never guess that.
I would not have gotten that either. That's Shane, insane, though.
Shane Vereen wouldn't have guessed it either.
Wes Welker actually 3rd in Super Bowl history in receptions all time.
I bet that makes Peyton Manning happy after he dropped that ball against the Seahawks.
I know Gronk's pretty high up on that list, on the all-time receptions list.
Oh, no. Welker dropped that ball against Tom Brady. Yep.
If Gronk catches 5 passes in Super Bowl, he'll be 2nd all time in career Super Bowl receptions.
Right. Behind Jerry Rice with 33. Good Lord. Okay. So here's my bold prediction. Speaking of Jerry Rice, Tyreek Hill.
By the way, preemptive F. Go ahead.
Great. The single game receiving yards record of 215 receiving yards set by Jerry Rice in a game, John Breach, that you may remember.
Oh,
Super Bowl also, XXIII.
You're making me give you an F, Brinson. I even like the prediction, but how are you going to throw that in my face?
He's got a double F. Double F.
Ironically.
First time in podcast.
Jerry Rice set the record for most receiving yards in a single game. Jerry Rice holds the record for most receiving touchdowns in the game But it wasn't Jerry Rice who was the leading scorer in this game. It was none other than Jim Breach.
Yeah, you had to cut it off there. I was wondering where you're going with that.
Jim Breach outscored Jerry Rice. You know what? So if the 49ers didn't win that game, Jim Breach would have won MVP. So
that'd have been MVP if they'd won.
He would have been MVP. You know, Ryan loves to talk about the multiverse. It's one of those alternate realities. I think about for at least 3 hours every week the Super Bowl comes around.
Oh my God. I was going to say, how would Breach's life be different if his dad won MVP and they won the Super Bowl? He'd probably be a president of he'd be the president of the Bengals. He wouldn't be slumming it with us. Now he's living in a basement in Tennessee.
Boomer Esiason was 11 to 25 for a buck 44 and a pick.
Yeah, find another Bengals that would have been MVP and let me know if you think.
Pat McAnally.
Icky Woods, 20 carries, 79 yards, no scores. Chris Collinsworth, the leading receiver, 3 catches, 40 yards.
Yikes.
Was there anybody you had? Let's see, for
any defensive
their
players?
Only touchdown. So they scored 16 points. My dad scored 10. Their only touchdown came on a kickoff return for a touchdown because the offense didn't do anything.
Has your dad discussed this, that he thinks he might have been MVP?
Oh, this is not just my dad discussing it. This is well, well known.
There's a whole
hold on, hold on. Here's Boomer Esiason inside the NFL real quick.
They can win games. Back in Super Bowl 23, I'm telling you, if we would have hung on to win, Jim Breach would have been our MVP. He was that good.
That's the MVP of the NFL from 1988, Boomer Esiason saying that himself.
Boomer won MVP in 88?
He won MVP in 1988. Out of his own mouth, Jim Breach would have been the Super Bowl MVP if the Bengals would have won.
Jim Breach, 34-yard field goal in the second quarter to tie it up 3-all. A 43-yard field goal gave the Bengals a 6-3 lead. And then a 40-yard field goal cut it to 16-13 before gave him a 16-13 lead, before some pass from Montana to John Taylor. I don't think anybody talks about it, really.
10-yard pass to Montana Taylor. And note, you mentioned the field goals. One of only two kickers in Super Bowl history to make two field goals of 40 yards or more in the second half of a Super Bowl during crunch time.
Joe Robbie Stadium.
Okay. But Jerry Rice. Anyway, back to Jerry.
So great. You guys, you're jokingly giving me an F, but what really grade would that be?
That's pretty bold.
Yeah, I'll give you an A.
Yeah, there we go.
An A. I'll give you a B double minus just so you're below me.
Tyreek Hill already went for that number against the Buccaneers this regular season. He went for 269. So
you would imagine they would try not to let that happen again.
Right. One would think that they would try and try to do that.
But the flip side of that, here's how bold Brinson's prediction is. So I don't even know if we said the number. Rice finished with 215. No one else has even hit 200, and only one other receiver in Super Bowl history has even gone above 170. So it is a very, very bold prediction.
Only 7 guys have gone above 150. And Jerry Rice did not do it another time. He went for 149 and 148. I think Breach referenced that. Deion Branch rounds out the top 10 with 143. But then the top 7 over a buck 50. It's kind of funny. It's Jerry Rice, 215. Ricky Sanders for Washington.
It's a crazy list.
Super Bowl 22 with 193. Isaac Bruce for the greatest show on turf with 162. Len Swan in Super Bowl 10 with 161. And then 3 guys tied for at 152, tied for 5th. Andre Reed for Buffalo, Rod Smith for Denver, and Danny Amendola? I'm about to record my son saying didn't see that coming.
Of the top 4 performances, all 4 of those teams won. So if Tyreek goes off, that seems like a good thing for the Chiefs.
I actually might have been smarter to say that Tyreek Hill will break Jerry Rice's yards from scrimmage record, which is 220. Because I could see Tyreek having like a monster rush attempt on a jet sweep or something like that wouldn't count towards receiving.
Too late.
What if Tyreek Hill wins MVP and after a game where Ryan Succop hits like 9 field goals and he would have won MVP. And then like 20 years from now, Ryan Succop's kids on a podcast reliving the Tyreek Hill game and talking about how his dad could have won MVP.
That's a bold prediction.
Except in this situation, Tyreek Hill won the game.
Oh.
Well, that's the show. <We'll see. laughs> Sorry, Jim Breach. We love you. You're our favorite Breach.
That's mean.
Breach. All right, that's the show. This is the Bold Predictions. We'll be back tomorrow with our Best Bets podcast. You can also check out the final Pick 6 show on CBS Sports HQ, final weekday show on CBS Sports HQ.
Oh, I was like, oh, we're done forever?
5:00 p.m. on Friday. And then, as we mentioned, live streaming on YouTube and Twitch TV basically all day Sunday. So make sure and check that out. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Talk to you guys later.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount+.
Yes!